May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Peace I give to you. My own peace I leave with you. It is not what we heard today. And these comforting words seem like a far cry from what Jesus offers us this morning when he asks his followers, "Do you think I come to bring peace to the earth? No, but rather division." He goes on to elaborate on his claim. Families will be upended, divided, and dissected for the sake of God's kingdom. Kinship networks, so important in ancient times and still today, will be cut up and cleaved. Today's gospel is a hard pill to swallow for those of us who prefer to keep the peace, to not rock the boat, and to be bridge builders in all of our relations. However, scholar Jerusha Mattson-Neal draws our attention to the fact that the specter of division, as she calls it, is always present in Luke's gospel. She references the first chapter of Luke, Mary's Magnificat, in which Mary foretells that the powerful will be cast down and the lowly will be lifted up. Structural subversion can and will occur. Our political structures, our cultural structures, and yes, our families too will be radically transformed. As Neal writes, quote, "Even the hallowed category of family is rearranged in light of God's larger covenantal priorities." She goes on to say, quote, "Peace has always meant more than just getting along." It's not hard to look around at our social and political landscape at present and to identify how tribalism, our tendency to hyper-identify with a particular social group, political party, or clan, can and does dissolve the bonds of our shared humanity. After all, before we are funneled into any other category, aren't we all children of God? I've heard that the moment we are living in can be categorized by the presence of what is called a polarization cycle. That is, our current landscape is defined less by healthy debate and civil discourse, and more by the practices of fearing and stereotyping the other. These practices not only entrench divisive partisan politics, but also widen the ideological gap between people in a way that makes tribalism thrive and in a way that makes the common ground that we all share seem to shrink beneath our feet. In the 9:15 family service, in an hour, we will have the great pleasure of baptizing two children of the parish, Victoria and Colby Hill. When I did prep with the godparents on Zoom a few weeks ago, I was struck by what their mom shared was the significance of their names. Victoria, a strong name for a strong little girl, and Victoria Lynn, after a beloved aunt who had died of cancer. Kolbe, after Saint Maximilian Kolbe, a Polish friar who sheltered thousands of Jews during World War II and ultimately gave his life so that another man, who unlike Kolbe was a father and a husband, could live. Maximilian Kolbe was executed on August 14th, 1941, and the Catholic Church recalls his life and death and honors his feast day today. In this most profound way, Kolbe saw beyond the scope of clan or tribe and gave his own life so that a fellow child of God could live. In a place and time where fear-mongering and stereotyping of Jews led to their mass extermination, as we know all too well, Kolbe, in his life and in his death, symbolized that something much deeper exists beyond nationality, beyond ethnicity, beyond religion, and that something deeper is our identity as beloved children of God. On this day, we also remember Episcopal seminarian Jonathan Myrick Daniels, who was killed in Selma as he defended the life of a young woman named Ruby Sales from an armed white supremacist. In that moment, Daniels, like Kolbe a few decades before him, sacrificed his own life for the sake of another, for the sake of an other. Our Lesser Feasts and Fast book contains a wonderful quotation by Daniels in which he writes, quote, "The faith with which I went to Selma has not changed. It has grown. I began to know in my bones and sinews that I had been truly baptized into the Lord's death and resurrection. With them, the black men and white men, with all of life, in him whose name is above all the names that the races and nations shout, we are indelibly and unspeakably one. We are indelibly and unspeakably one." In a world where it's far too easy to cordon ourselves off into family and tribe, political party, race, gender, or any other number of factors, Daniel's words and, more importantly, his actions cut to the core of what I think Jesus is trying to get us to see in today's gospel. Not for shock value and not as hyperbole, Jesus reminds us that as his followers, we are called not to do what is popular or palatable, but to do what is right. We are called to live and love joyfully and freely with the knowledge that our identity as God's children binds us into one human family, one body, with all people, across all time and space, and in truth, with all of creation. The fiery division that Jesus speaks of is less about destruction, I think, and more about renewal. Like the flames that restore an aching ecosystem. Like to trace our way back to Jerusha Matson Neal. This is what she writes about the fire. She says, quote, "Jesus's fire is not like the fire of a hearth, safely controlled and tightly bound for the somnolent pleasures of a single household. This fire of love burns away our obsession with self-preservation, our idolization of kinship, and our false sense of control. It is a fire that tests the heart, revealing the thoughts of many and calling for a baptism of commitment. End quote. The vision of radical kinship that Jesus calls us toward is not about shared blood, but instead it is about shared belief. The belief that no matter who we are, no matter what family, what race, we are all made in God's image. We are all worthy of love, safety, and belonging. The belief that it is worth risking approval, status, and even one's very breath in order to build up God's kingdom, or as some may call it, God's kingdom. And finally, the belief that as members of God's family, there's nothing we can do, not one thing, that will exile us from God's love and care. As we rejoice in the baptism of Colby and Victoria at the 9:15 family service, and as we gather as a church to affirm that we can and will support them in their lives of faith, let us remember that the household of God and the depth of inclusion that it symbolizes is far beyond what we can imagine. And nonetheless, let us work to make our homes, our families, our lives a reflection of that inclusion, blending our work with the work of all the saints that have come before us and those yet to come. Let us work together to build up God's kingdom. Amen.